Well, I invite you to take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Ezekiel, Ezekiel chapter 13, as we continue our study and exposition of the book of Ezekiel. Tonight we find ourselves in chapter 13. The title of the message is Woe to the False Prophets. Ezekiel chapter 13, beginning in verse 1. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the prophets of Israel who prophesy, and say to those who prophesy from their own inspiration, listen to the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, Woe to the foolish prophets who are following their own spirit and have seen nothing. O Israel, your prophets have been like foxes among ruins. You have not gone up into the breaches, nor have you built Did you build the wall around the house of Israel to stand in the battle on the day of the Lord? They see falsehood and lying divination who are saying, the Lord declares, when the Lord has not seen them, yet they hope for the fulfillment of their word. Did you not see a false vision and speak a lying divination when you said, the Lord declares, but it is not I who have spoken. The hottest place in hell, I believe, is reserved for false prophets who deceive and damn the souls of others. Just as there are degrees of reward in heaven, so there are degrees of wrath and retribution in hell. And the greatest wrath is reserved for those who distort the word of God and cause others to stray from the truth and ultimately away from the way of salvation. The Bible repeatedly teaches that false teachers and false prophets will receive the greatest judgment of all in the last day. These spiritual deceivers are called by many terms and described by many images, and each one of them are frightening. False teachers are called false shepherds, blind leaders of the blind, apostates, hypocrites, ungodly persons, empty dreamers, antichrists. They are also described in these images as wolves in sheep's clothing, whitewashed tombs, unreasoning animals, hidden reefs, waterless clouds, barren trees, wild waves, wandering stars, and accursed children. They are presented with and detailed with many descriptions, none of which are flattering. False teachers are described in the Bible as ungodly. Let me stop here for a moment. It's not just that they are sincerely wrong. It's far deeper than that. They are ungodly and corrupt in their own hearts. They don't merely have mental problems. They have moral problems in their heart. They are ungodly, morally perverted, rebellious, and ultimately rebellious against God and the authority of Scripture. They are revilers of holy things, ignorant, corrupted, grumblers, fault finders, self-seeking, arrogant speakers, flesh flatterers, mockers, division creators, worldly minded, who are devoid of the Holy Spirit of God within them. They have eyes full of adultery and hearts trained in greed. This is the danger that is being addressed in Ezekiel chapter 13. And it is the subject and focus of our study in the Word tonight, as God has set the menu for us to consider the extraordinary danger of false teachers. It is the greatest danger of all that ever confronts the people of God. It is the danger of the truth being twisted and the truth being corrupted by false teachers. The greatest danger the church faces is never persecution from the outside. It is always perversion of the truth on the inside. The persecution only purifies the church. Persecution only strengthens the church. Persecution only spreads the church. But the perversion of the truth corrupts the church. False teachers had long flourished in Judah by way of background, Ezekiel 13. And when Israel was transported by the Babylonians to the country of Babylon, these false teachers were also transported with them. God now directs Ezekiel to bring a scathing indictment against these false prophets for their distortion of the Word of God. And most specifically, these false teachers had given Israel a false sense of peace when in fact there was no peace. These false teachers had declared national peace with Israel's enemies, ironically, while Israel is being held captive in exile. And these false teachers also declared spiritual peace with God, when in fact they themselves had no peace with God. They preached a blind optimism about the future, when in fact the opposite was true until there would be repentance on the part of God's people. And these false prophets claimed to speak in the name of the Lord, but the disturbing fact was they had not been chosen by God, they had not been called by God, and they had not been commissioned by God, and they did not speak for God. It was the ultimate taking God's name in vain to claim to speak what God speaks when in reality you are drawing out of your own well. That's why the Bible says, "Let not many of you become teachers, my brethren, knowing as such we shall incur a stricter judgment." A stricter judgment. And on the last day, in the final judgment, there will be a stricter judgment for those who would have stood before others and claimed to have said, "Thus says the Lord." This is a present danger with the church today. False prophets remain among the flock today and are still with us. They deny the inerrancy of Scripture. They deny the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. They deny the necessity of the new birth. They deny the finality of Christ's death. They deny the triunity of the Godhead. They deny the depravity of the human heart and the eternality of hell and the deity and personality of the Holy Spirit. They deny the faith that was once and for all delivered to the saints, and in its place, they teach a gospel that is no gospel. It is another gospel. They teach a gospel of self-esteem, not self-denial. They teach a gospel of physical health and financial wealth, not poverty of spirit. They teach a gospel of the mass. The Queen of Heaven, the Virgin Mary, indulgences, purgatory, and a works righteousness, not a faith righteousness in Christ alone. They teach a gospel of Joseph Smith, Brigham Young, Mary Baker Eddy, Charles Taze Russell, Muhammad, Reverend Sung Moon, not the gospel of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. This same danger of false prophets is with us in this hour. And we must be on the alert for their lies. As we look at Ezekiel chapter 13 tonight, we are shocked again, not merely with the presence of false teachers, but God's severe denunciation of all false teachers. I want you to note first, beginning in verse 1, the false prophets denounced. Ezekiel begins his condemnation with this word from God. Verse 1, "Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying..." Now, this is important. This is not Ezekiel's opinion of other teachers. This is not Ezekiel's own estimation of others who speak in the name of the Lord. This is God's own declaration. "The word of the Lord came to me, saying..." And this now familiar phrase introduces yet the next vision. Verse 2, "Son of man," addressing Ezekiel, "prophesy against the prophets of Israel." And if you had been an Egyptian, if you had been an Assyrian, if you had been a Babylonian and heard this, you would say, "What? Prophesy against your own teachers? Prophesy against your own prophets? How confusing this must have sounded to the outside world, yet this was the primary danger that was facing Israel. It is always the primary danger that faces the people of God. It's not the danger of the outside, it is the danger of the false teacher on the inside. Son of man, prophesy against the prophets of Israel, who prophesy and say to those who, and say to those who prophesy from their own imagination, listen to the word of the Lord. The greatest danger, the greatest problem with Israel was with her preachers. And verse 2, in essence, says, Son of man, preach against the preachers. He says, they claim to speak the word of God, but in fact they speak, quote, from their own inspiration, unquote. Meaning their own imagination. They render their own opinions, not God's. They misrepresent God's revelation. They speak not what God has spoken, and yet they attach God's name to it. It is the ultimate taking of God's name in vain. It is blasphemy of highest order. And four times in these verses, God's indictment rings through the words of Ezekiel that they prophesy that which I have not said. Verse 3, thus says the Lord God, woe to the foolish prophets. And this word woe means cursed, judged, damned. It means far more than, hey, wait a minute, or woe, slow down. It means a scathing indictment of judgment upon the foolish prophets. And all false prophets are foolish prophets. They are bankrupt of divine wisdom. Woe to the foolish prophets who are following their own spirit. They're not following the Holy Spirit of God. They are not following the Word of the living God. They are following their own spirit. And the problem is their own spirit is unregenerate, unconverted, and therefore corrupt, and have seen nothing. This is to say, they claim to have received a vision from God. And they say to the people of God, oh, God spoke to me. Oh, God appeared to me. Oh, I had a dream. Oh, I had a vision. That's what they claim. And God says, they have seen nothing. And verse 4, oh, Israel, and the longing of God to His own people. Oh, Israel, your prophets, that's your problem. It's your prophets have been like foxes among ruins. Now, he compares these false prophets to foxes among ruins. Now, foxes are animals that contribute nothing except they go into broken down places and broken fields and take and pilfer. They are animals that are scavengers in the deserted ruins of the land that come and destroy and take and pilfer as they come upon prey. That's what these false prophets are. They contribute nothing to anyone's understanding of the truth. In fact, they prey upon people who are weak and people in their ruin, and they steal what has been deposited in them and they take away. In verse 5, they're compared to unfaithful workmen. In verse 5, he says, you have not gone up into the breaches. He is addressing the false prophets. You have not gone up into the breaches, nor did you build the wall around the house of Israel to stand in the battle on the day of the Lord. And these false prophets did nothing to build up the moral foundation of the people of God, and they did nothing to build up the walls of decency and morality that surrounded the people of God. They did nothing to shore up Israel's spiritual defenses. Instead, they have not gone up into the breaches to build up this wall of truth around the people of God. Instead, they have merely covered over that which should have been built up. So in verse 6, they see falsehood and lying divination. That's God's estimation of the so-called dreams and so-called visions and so-called mystical experiences that they claim to have had as they attach, thus says the Lord, to their own message. God says, I'll tell you what they've seen. They've seen falsehood. I'll tell you what they've seen. They have seen lying divination, false visions, devilish deceptions, damnable lies. That's what they have seen. They see, verse 6, falsehood and lying divination, who are saying, the Lord declares, when the Lord has not sent them. They are self-appointed speakers, teachers, and prophets that have not been sent by God. Yet they hope for the fulfillment of their word. They make up their own message and hope against hope that there will be a fulfillment to what they have prophesied. Did you not see verse 7? A false vision and speak a lying divination. God says, that's what you've actually seen when you said, the Lord declares, but it is not I who has spoken. There can be no greater tragedy than to claim to speak for God when God has not spoken. And of all the sins that one would commit when you would stand before the Lord on the last day, the most terrifying would be to give an account for what God has spoken when in fact He did not speak. All this underscores how important the truth is in the midst of the church. The truth is everything, and that is not an overstatement. You can't get there from here without the truth. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. You cannot come to God in salvation apart from the truth. Jesus said, God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth. You cannot worship God apart from the truth. And Jesus prayed, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. You cannot grow in grace and godliness apart from the truth. I want to say to you, you cannot do anything of any eternal spiritual value apart from the truth of the Word of God. You cannot take one step forward either to come to Christ or to advance in the Christian life outside of and independent of the truth of the Word of God. And you pull the plug on the truth, and you have pulled the plug on everything that is eternal and of lasting value in the church and in the kingdom of God. You pull the plug on the truth, and there is no evangelism. There is no gospel that saves. You pull the plug on the truth, and no one is saved. You pull the plug on the truth, there is zero worship of God. You pull the plug on the truth, there is no fellowship. There is no basis of coming together with common convictions. You pull the plug on the truth, there is no ministry in His name, and there is no outreach, and there is no growth in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything is dependent upon the truth. For the life of me, I cannot understand why anyone would go to a church that does not teach and preach and proclaim the truth simply because their parents went to some church or because they grew up in a place. But if I'm not receiving the truth, I'm going to saturate myself from that place with my absence. I want you to notice, second, beginning in verse 8, the future judgment declared, because there are always consequences for any departure from the truth. And so, beginning in verse 8, we see that God is not indifferent towards those who distort the truth and who corrupt the truth. So, beginning in verse 8, therefore, which says, as a result of their false teaching, therefore, thus says the Lord God. Now comes a true, thus says the Lord God. They have been saying, thus says the Lord, but God has not spoken. But now the Lord says, thus says the Lord. Because you have spoken falsehood and seen a lie, therefore, behold, I am against you, declares the Lord. God is not neutral towards false prophets. God is not indifferent towards false prophets. God is utterly and absolutely and completely opposed to false prophets. I am against you. Verse 9, so my hand will be against the prophets who see false visions and utter lying devastations. And he now introduces a threefold judgment, all contained in verse 9, regarding these false teachers. And number one, they will be exposed. He says they will have no place in the council of my people. Now, to this point, they have enjoyed places of favor in society and in culture as they have sat in the council of the leadership of Israel. And they have enjoyed parading their so-called spirituality before the watching eyes of God's people. But God says, it'll be no more. I will blow their cover. They will be exposed for what they truly are. They are liars and false teachers. They will be exposed as counterfeits, no longer to have an exalted reputation among the people. Thus, they will lose their prominent places in the councils of the nation. But not only will they be exposed, second, they will be excommunicated. He goes on to say, nor will they be written down in the register of the house of Israel, meaning they will be put out of the people of God. They will be put out of the house of Israel. This register is that which contains the list of the names of those who are true citizens of Israel. But now they will be excommunicated and put out from among the people of God because they are as dangerous as a rattlesnake in a baby's bed to be left to circulate among the people of God. It will be no longer and no more. So they will be excommunicated from the register of the house of Israel. And then finally, they will be exterminated at the end of this verse, nor will they enter the land of Israel. And that means they would die as captives in the foreign land of Babylon and not be allowed to return back to the promised land. God deals very severely with these false teachers. They have crossed the line with Him. They are too influential to be left alone. They will be expelled, exposed, excommunicated, and exterminated, that they may know that I am the Lord. So in verse 10, He goes on to describe them, why they are so deserving of such severe punishment. He says in verse 10, it is definitely because, so here's the reason why, God has dealt with them so severely. It is definitely because they have misled my people by saying peace when there is no peace. They have spoken the very opposite of what Ezekiel himself has already spoken, that the day of the Lord is coming. And when anyone builds a wall, behold, they plaster it over with whitewash. What this is saying is these false prophets simply try to cover over the cracks in the wall and the cracks in the foundation of Israel. And rather than bringing a true message of repentance and a true message of restoration and reformation that would bring wholeness back to Israel, they instead come to people in their sin and merely say, peace, peace, and try to whitewash a wall that is filled with cracks and is in the process of crumbling. They put a good face on it, when in the fact of the matter is, it is a wall that is rotten and it is a wall that is crumbling. So in verse 11, so tell those who plaster it over with whitewash, speaking to the false prophets, so tell those who plaster it over with whitewash that it will fall. And this very wall of God's protection around the city, it will fall no matter how much they want to tickle ears and massage egos and announce peace and be smooth talking, because they will not deal with the issue of the cracks in Israel's moral foundation, and all they want to do is put plaster over and then cover it up with a whitewash. God says in verse 11, that wall will fall. He goes on to say in the middle of verse 11, a flooding rain will come, which is an image of the coming consequences of Israel's sin and the coming judgment of God upon those who had been left behind in Israel. A flooding rain will come, and you, O hailstorms, will fall, and a violent wind will break out. This is God's coming judgment, and the judgment is only intensified by these false prophets who seduce the people of God into thinking all is well. Verse 12, behold, when the wall has fallen, meaning when there is no more protection and God will bring the Babylonians for yet another raid of the city of Jerusalem, will you not be asked, where is the plaster with which you plastered it? In other words, their false prophecies about peace will be utterly exposed and revealed for what they truly are, nothing more than lies. Verse 13, therefore, thus says the Lord God, I will make a violent wind break out in my wrath. And it is a picture of God's coming judgment upon Jerusalem and upon Israel and upon these false prophets. I will make a violent wind break out in my wrath. There will also be in my anger a flooding rain and hailstorm to consume it in wrath. Verse 14, so I will tear down the wall. I will tear down this false hope of salvation. And I will tear down this false religiosity. I will tear down the wall which you plastered over with whitewash and bring it down to the ground so that its foundation is laid bare. And when it falls, you will be consumed in its midst. And you will know that I am the Lord. Thus I shall spend my wrath on the wall and on those who have plastered it over with with whitewash. This is to say that God's focus in the outpouring of His wrath is especially upon false teachers and their false teaching. I will spend my wrath on the wall, that's the false teaching, and on those who have plastered it over with whitewash, that's the false teachers. And I shall say to you, the wall is gone, and its plasterers are gone. Both the false teaching and the false teachers will be buried. Verse 16, along with the prophets of Israel who prophesy to Jerusalem and who see visions of peace for her when there is no peace, declares the Lord God. This section certainly shows the serious consequences that exist from God for distorting His Word. And when His Word is mishandled, and when His Word is falsely represented, and worse, when someone claims to have heard a word from God when God has not spoken, God in due time will step forward and work ruthlessly to bring down such false teachers and false teaching. Final section begins in verse 17 in this chapter and is the false prophetesses denounced. Beginning in verse 17, he addresses those who are female prophetesses in Israel who have come to the forefront, and God now speaks to them. Verse 17, "Now you, son of man, set your face against the daughters of your people who are prophesying from their own inspiration, prophesy against them." And this imagery pictures the sternness of the God's message that He is to bring to prophesy against them. And this passage is one of four in the Old Testament in which prophetesses are singled out for God's judgment. The other three are Isaiah 3, Isaiah 35, and Amos 4. And it shows how far they have gone into believing these lying deceptions, that even after the men who are false prophets have had their day and their hour, the sensitivities of the people are so weakened, it now allows women to come into a place where only a man should stand in ministering the Word of God. And so verse 18, "And say, thus says the Lord God, woe to the women who sew magic bands on their wrists." These are women who manufactured magic charms that the people would wear in order to ward off evil things that would come against them. So part of their teaching ministry was to bring these magic bands and to give them, or more likely to sell them, to their followers to wear. And so we see here that these women are really mediums or sorceresses or witches, perhaps like the witch of Endor in 1 Samuel 28:7. And these women practice magical arts, probably learned in Babylon, and it's a part of false religion. "And woe to the women who sew magic bands on all wrists," meaning the wrists of those who would follow them, "and make veils for the heads of persons of every stature to hunt down lies." These wicked women used all of these divinations and superstitions and false religious charms to, as pictured here, to hunt down and destroy innocent souls for their own selfish gain. He says, "Will you hunt down the lives of my people, but preserve the lives of others for yourself?" And so they are in this for their own selfish gain. Verse 19, for handfuls of barley and fragments of bread you have profaned me to my people. This was their payment. This is what they received in exchange for these magic bands and veils for the heads of people. And he shows in verse 19 that really what they prostituted their own soul to obtain was nothing more than the trivial things of this world, handfuls of barley and mere fragments of bread. At the moment, it seemed like they were getting so much for selling their wares on the open market, but in reality, as they hold it in their hand, it is hardly anything that they have to show for their own sin. Just mere handfuls of barley and fragments of bread, and it is for this price that they have sold their souls to the devil. He goes on to say in verse 19, to put to death some who would not die, and to keep others alive who should not live. Their teaching has so distorted values in Israel that now the righteous are being punished and the wicked are being rewarded. So much so, pushed to the extreme that those who should not die are actually dying and those who should not live are actually living. Those who are taking the innocent life of others are spared when in fact they should receive the death penalty. And those who are righteous and standing for the truth and living moral lives, they are the ones who are being hunted down and put to death by the government officials whom they are influencing. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. And as a society and as a culture thinks in its own heart, so it is. And the perversion of truth actually now inverts everything such that one would think black is white and white is black. One would think right is wrong and wrong is right. There is a total distortion of moral values, and it ends up that the righteous die and the wicked live. We certainly see this in our own day, do we not? We see it on every side. So verse 20, therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against your magic bands by which you hunt lives there as birds, and I will tear them from your arms, and I will let them go, even those lives whom you hunt as birds. And God is saying, I will act, I will bring the Babylonians against you, and when they come, it will break your death grip upon the lives of people, and it will be a blessing for them, actually, for me to come in devastation upon Jerusalem, because it will break your stronghold that you have upon these people and free your grip of them. And even in the catastrophe of the judgment, they will at least come free from the trance that they are in under your spell-binding divinations. So verse 21, I will also tear off your veils. And a part of this sorcery and a part of this false religion involved them putting veils over their face to conceal themselves. I will also tear off your veils and deliver my people from your hands, and they will no longer be in your hands to be hunted, and you will know that I am the Lord. In this act of coming judgment, God will expose these false teachers to be the charlatans that they truly are. And God will blow their cover and rip off their veils, which they hide behind, and God will strip them of their claims and take His people back. Verse 22, because you disheartened the righteous with falsehood, when I did not cause him grief, but have encouraged the wicked not to turn from his wicked way and preserve his life. This is an interesting verse, Because when false doctrine is propagated, it disheartens the righteous and it delights the wicked. And it should be the total opposite, because when the truth goes forward, those who are truly the elect of God and those who are truly the remnant of God's people, they delight in hearing the truth. And when the truth goes forward, they are delighted. And when that same message goes forward, it is the wicked who groan and it is the wicked who gnash their teeth. How amazing it is that the same sun that melts the snow hardens the clay. And the same message that delights one heart discourages another heart. And so the ultimate indictment here in verse 22 is that when their false teaching goes forward, it is the righteous who are disheartened and it is the wicked who are encouraged. Verse 23, therefore, you women, referring to these false female teachers, you women will no longer see false visions or practice divination. And the reason they will no longer see false visions is because they will no longer live to see them. Because in this coming day of the Lord, this coming judgment that will come, God will take their lives. And I will deliver my people out of your hand. And it speaks here to how God uses even times of cataclysmic judgment that comes against a city or that would come against a nation. God even brings spiritual good out of an evil time. And this is one example. It will be used to take the lives of the false teachers and to release His own people. And the result of which is, thus you will know I am the Lord. This chapter should cause each one of us tonight to be on the alert for false prophets who would destroy the souls of men. And should also underscore for us the extraordinary blessing of that comes to the people of God when the truth is rightly taught. If the false prophet is our greatest danger, then the true teacher is our greatest delight. And so let us rejoice tonight as we would end on a positive note after this sobering chapter, that we should rejoice over those who rightly divide the word of truth. Hebrews 13:7 says, remember those who led you, who spoke the word of God to you. Remember them and hold them in highest esteem, because it is their bringing of the truth to you that has revealed to you the true knowledge of God and the true way of salvation and the true path of Christian growth. 1 Thessalonians 5:12, but we request of you, brethren, that you appreciate those who diligently labor among you and have charge over you in the Lord and gave you instruction. Those who are used by the Lord in spiritual leadership are those who give spiritual instruction to the flock and to the body. And he says in verse 13 that you should esteem them very highly in love because of their work, and specifically their work of laboring in the Word to feed you the truth of the Word of God. So as we bring to conclusion this 13th chapter of Ezekiel, we see this warning that goes out to the false teachers of Israel who pose the greatest danger to the people of God. And by way of application, it should cause us to rejoice, even in our own church, for the many leaders, both men and women, who minister the Word of God in our church. May this always be a place where the authority of God's Word has the preeminent place, And where the word is rightly divided and rightly handled, may this always be a place where the truth would set the mark and be the standard by which all would be measured. And may the truth be that which would guide and direct our lives in all manner of belief and life. Let's pray. Father, this is certainly a most sobering chapter. As you have brought your railing indictment against the false teachers of Israel, these foolish prophets who claim to have seen a vision and claim to speak, thus says the Lord, when in fact they had seen nothing, and when in fact they had not heard from you. Lord, we can certainly turn on Christian television, so-called Christian television, and even Christian radio, and see and hear many who would masquerade as teachers and preachers of your word, who in fact deny the faith that was once and for all delivered to the saints. We are surrounded on every side in this pluralistic society in America as the cults and false religions are coming in by the droves. How many of these false religions are rapidly outgrowing even major denominations in our country, and America is becoming a tree for every foul bird of the air to come and to make its nest. Lord, as such false teaching will begin to proliferate at an even faster pace around us, we understand the necessity for discernment and for wisdom and for insight and for divine illumination and divine enlightenment. And Lord, we thank you for the perspicuity of the Scripture, that which is most essential in the Word of God is that which is most clear. And so we thank you that you have not hidden these things from us, but that they are clearly seen in your Word. I pray that you will guard this church in all the years to come from false teachers and false prophets and false teaching, and may you preserve this church to be a bastion for the truth and a fortress for sound doctrine. We unashamedly set that on a very high pedestal, knowing that the truth is everything to the life of the church, for Christ Himself is the incarnation of truth. And so, Lord, preserve the truth here. May the truth always be honored. May the truth always be preserved, and may the truth always be fought for in spiritual warfare. Lord, bless these who have come here tonight. Granted, this chapter is an unusual chapter, but it is your message for us tonight here. We pray, God, that in future days and weeks and months that you would bring even more people to the ministries of this church, so that the truth would find greater lodging in the hearts of men and women. So help us, God, as we would reach out to a city that is given to religious superstitions and the empty traditions of men. Lord, help us to reach out in love and to speak the truth in love, and may there be a hearing for the truth. Father, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
The following has been an audio recording of Christ Fellowship Baptist Church and is under the direct copyright of Christ Fellowship Baptist Church. All recordings may be used freely for the ministry and application of the Word of God. However, written permission must be obtained from Christ Fellowship Baptist Church before any recording is broadcast or redistributed in any form. In no way should this recording be disseminated without the express consent of Christ Fellowship Baptist Church.